生的线，又将他们相连。你
DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's June 15th. 2022, and it's news to me time. I want to apologize. There was a hiccup with the show recording yesterday, and so it didn't make it out. But it's all right. We've got a stout show today. So here we go. All right. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Let's go ahead and launch comm and jump on over there. Big happy birthday. The 35-hour marathon for STF is going to start up tomorrow, which is when STF's birthday kicks off. But it's a big, exciting time, so definitely check it out. Go to anonradio.net to find the blog post talking about it. And, of course, you can always jump over into comm. That's just launch COM. Just type COM at the terminal, press enter. Oh, SMJ points out, it has already started June 15th at 1400. I thought the birthday was at 1600. My bad. Anyway, hello. Check it out. Go to anonradio.net and you'll see it like that. Hello, hello, F-Fog and Ratsu, Snowdust, SMJ, F-Fog, thanks so much, Jim Log, Murph, it's a big party. There's so much happening on and on radio today. So, yeah, check it out. Oh, and Jeff, Sui, there's a whole crew. There's a large party happening. So definitely come check it out. If you're listening to an on radio today, you can jump into comm, say hi. You can go to IRC. Snowdesk might see you. I'm just kidding. There's a lot of people in IRC, but check it all out. Okay, well, there was, as I said, a hiccup, but it's all better now. So let's go ahead and start up the way we pretty much always start. And that, my friends, is with
World News.
That's right. Hello, Claude M, the next one. Welcome, welcome. So check this out. So we start with the death and destruction, as always. Tribal clashes kill at least 145 in Sudan. That's right. Violence in Sudan resulted in at least 145 dead and over 180 wounded this month, according to the United Nations. The tribal clashes occurred in West Darfur and southern Kordofan provinces and were described as the deadliest in years. Sorry, Snowdisk. I did not mean to besmudge the reputation of IRC. The clash took place in the wake of October's military coup that marked an end to the country's short-lived transition to democracy. According to OCHA, O-C-H-A, the fighting subsided following the deployment of troops to the area. Authorities also declared a nightly curfew last week, but tensions remain high. The violence puts into question the UN Security Council decision last year to dismantle the joint UN-African Union peacekeeping forces mandate in the region. Longtime autocrat and common frequent name on the show, Omar al-Bashir, was removed from power in April 2019 and has been in prison in Khartoum ever since. Al-Bashir was indicted over a decade ago by the International Criminal Court for genocide and crimes against the against humanity perpetrated in Darfur. Welcome, welcome. Hello, Adam D. Thanks for tuning in. Jim Log in here, thinking I sound like Northern Lights. Hello, hello. And Ronald. Oh man, it's so busy and calm. This is exciting. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, some folks in Switzerland having some trouble. Hot coal walk leaves 25 injured in Switzerland. 25 people have been treated for burns in northern Switzerland after they walked across hot coals as part of a team-building exercise. 13 of them were taken to hospital and treated for more severe injuries after the incident on Tuesday evening. A large emergency response, including 10 ambulances, arrived at the private event around 1600 GMT. The group walked over a bed of coals that was several meters long and felt pain shortly after, police said. It's not yet clear if there was an issue with the setup of the coals or with how the group walked across them. Officials have opened an investigation and taken evidence from the site, which is in the AU Au Gold Peninsula, just south of the city of Zurich. Walking across a bed of hot coals, often known as firewalking, is sometimes used in motivational courses and charity events. It involves walking barefoot over a bed of hot embers or coals. It's also used in many parts of the world as a rite of passage or test. Hey, welcome, James P. Welcome, welcome. What do we got here? Meta.sdf.org to get to Icelanders Verge. Oh, is that why I couldn't get over? That makes sense. Group building, yeah, team building. They'll share their misery now, for sure. Hey, and Hobo's here. Man, I'm just going to let calm roll on by. A shell server on a VPS provider. Okay, sorry. I'm going to just read the news. I can't follow. It's too busy. It's been a long time since that happened. All right. So let's keep on a-going. Let's go on with the news. Let's talk about the Ukraine real quick. Thousands of civilians are trapped in the Ukraine city of Severodonetsk with a diminishing supply of water, the UN is telling the BBC. It's an urgent situation developing in the bunkers beneath the Azot chemical plant, where hundreds of civilians are taking shelter. Russia has pledged to spend the day evacuating civilians holed up in the plant, though it's not clear if it's stopped attacks in the city. The U.S. pledged another $1 billion worth of weapons to Ukraine. Elsewhere, NATO has said the spike in global food prices is a direct consequence of the war and not sanctions against Russia, as Moscow claims. NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg also says the alliance will continue to supply Ukraine with heavy weapons, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has called on the EU to strengthen its sanctions package against Russia. So, just checking it out. There's some bot somewhere giving us some grief. a naughty bot. Okay. Stupid bots. I hate it when people abuse SDF. Don't abuse SDF. It's a good place. I did advertise SDF to the local Central Texas Linux Users Group email list. Somebody was asking for a shell service. So I was like, oh, we'll check out SDF. So we'll see what's going on. All right. What else is happening? Well, the EU has signed a gas deal. Less destruction, less death, still destructive. EU signs a gas deal with Israel and Egypt in a bid to ditch Russia. The European Union, Israel, and Egypt have signed a tripartite natural gas export deal as the bloc seeks to diversify away from Russian energy. The deal, finalized on Wednesday at the East Mediterranean Regional Energy Conference in Cairo, will allow significant exports of Israeli gas to Europe for the first time, the Israeli Energy Ministry said. What a special moment, EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen said in a joint news conference alongside Egypt and Israel energy ministers. I very warmly welcome the signing of this historic agreement. Last year, the EU roughly imported roughly 40% of its gas from Russia. Countries have been struggling to reduce the dependency in order to sanction Russia over its ongoing invasion of Ukraine. And, of course, no sign of adoption of nuclear power, which would kind of help alleviate that too. Let's see. Contabo. Oh, look at this. We got VPS just talk going on in here. Snowdesk trusts his ISP. Watch out. I guess it's time to sip on some tea. One sec. If you do like tea, you'll love the Dubious Goals Committee, which happens every damn day at 1930 UTC. That's coming up in just about 20 minutes. So if you're here and hanging out, stick around. That show is tons of fun. So definitely check it out. Every damn day. That's what they say. I have some Diane Hong here. It's a relative of the Jinjinae. It has more golden, has a higher percentage of golden leaves in it. Well, we talked about how people keep getting their houses bulldozed, and that's kind of like a way things happen. Well, Indian authorities are in an international damage control mode after controversial comments about the Prophet Muhammad by a senior ruling party official. But, yeah, we talked about this a bunch. Inside the home of a prominent Muslim family was demolished by the state in a display of majoritarian might against the largest minority community. We already did this story on Monday. Unfortunately, France 24 is behind the times. Oh, man.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, we'll get there. We got to talk. We've got a few fun stories for you there. Big E, Jim Locke, or James P, Big E, capital E. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob Jongman. Good to see you. And Stevie's here. Man, it's a big party. It is a party for SDF's birthday. All right, let's keep it moving. Dutch idea to give jobs to French youths backfires. The Dutch social affairs minister has been criticized across the political spectrum for suggesting young jobless people from French suburbs could take up jobs in the Netherlands. Carrie-Anne van Gennep was trying to address shortages in the Dutch labor market and added that work also helps people get on the right track. Political figures quickly pointed out 1 million Dutch people were out of work. The minister quickly backtracked, saying the French idea was not a plan. Ms. van Gennep stressed that she was merely responding to a European Commission plan to bring in migrant workers from outside the EU, which she said was skipping a few steps, as there were plenty of young Europeans available to do the jobs. So, and as Snowdus says, we are resilient. Bullying does not take us down. Sorry to hear about your stomach, Signal 11. Yeah. It's Borkin. All right. Well, so anyway, that backfired on him pretty quickly. And let's talk about the youth a little bit more. Hong Kong's new school books claim territory was not a British colony. That's right. That's what's so great about being in charge of your education system. We do it in the U.S. a lot. You can just write whatever you want, and that becomes the new history. New textbooks for Hong Kong schools will state the territory was never a British colony. Instead, the books declare British only exercised colonial rule in Hong Kong, a distinction drawn to highlight China's claims of unbroken sovereignty. China has always asserted it never gave up sovereignty, and its surrender of Hong Kong to the British was due to unfair opium war treaties in the 1800s. The UK returned Hong Kong to China in 1997 after ruling for over 150 years. During its rule, it referred to Hong Kong, a port with a deep harbor that grew into a booming city-state and one of the world's leading financial centers, as a colony, as well as a dependent territory. The United Kingdom governed the area from 1841 to 1941 and from 1945 to 1997, after which it was handed back to China. So, China maintains Hong Kong has always been its territory, that the British only occupied it. And while the Qing government at the time signed successive treaties ceding and leasing parts of the territory to Britain, China argues those were signed under coercion and never accepted. Hong Kong's government has been following Beijing's rhetoric since the 1997 handover. It never says sovereignty was transferred to China, but rather Hong Kong has returned to the motherland. So, what's going on right now? Jim Log, thanks for using the real karma for now. And Snowdusk letting us know some of SDF's servers are shut down right now. And the plus plus is housed somewhere else. All right, well, this
get the,
guy.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This guy wanting me to get it over with. So let me just tell you about some tragic news. I have to tell you about this before we play a song. People in Pakistan have been asked to reduce the amount of tea they drink to keep the country's economy afloat.
That's correct.
People in Pakistan have been asked to reduce the amount of tea they drink to keep the country's economy afloat. Sipping fewer cups a day would cut Pakistan's high import bill, Senior Minister Ahsan Iqbal said. The country's low foreign currency reserves, currently enough for fewer than 2 months of all imports, have left it in urgent need of funds. Pakistan is the world's largest importer of tea, buying in more than $600 million worth last year. I appeal to the nation to cut down the consumption of tea by 1 to 2 cups because we import tea on loan, Mr. Iqbal said, according to Pakistani media. Business traders could also close their market stalls at 2030 to save electricity, he suggested. So, snow dusk over here. Oh dear, DJ Marcus reads everything. Be careful, guys. Just kidding. I'm sorry, Snowdesk. I won't read your comments out loud all the time. But yeah, it's incredible. So many people. We're all having fun. All right. Well, here is a song because this guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This is Reggie and the Full Effect. This is Happy V-Day because I didn't have a song about happy birthday. I love this intro. Hey, Abort Retry Fail is here. Hello.
Oh, non-radio. You're listening to non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
That's right. You are listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. SDF's powered by you. And it's SDF's birthday. The crowd goes wild. Oh, man. The discussion has turned to the venerable G77 Fortran 77 compiler. And, of course, you can also use GNU Fortran. Check it out. Nobody really wants F77, but you know what? Sometimes it's all you get. Hey, Andraw, welcome, DRA. Thanks for coming in. All right, let's keep on moving. We got plenty of news and only about 10 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee. So we left off talking about tea, but that's not the only food news hanging out in our stories today. In Oxford Street, counterfeit chocolate worth £100,000 has been seized. What? A haul of counterfeit chocolate bars has been seized in raids on American candy shops on Oxford Street. The Wonka bars, that's right, fake Wonka bars, were confiscated on Tuesday by Trading Standards staff, who took merchandise worth about £100,000. The Food Safety Standards Agency warned if you bought these knockoff bars, do not eat them. The council has been targeting U.S.-themed sweet shops amid claims nearly £8 million of business rates are owed. It says it's netted about £475,000 of counterfeit and illegal goods in the past 6 months. Council leader Adam Hugg, aw, welcome YNSDF, says it has netted about $475,000 of counterfeit and illegal goods in the past 6 months. Council leader Adam Hugg said we need landlords to take responsibility about who they let to. And then what I think is very funny, we're going to put a link in com. Counterfeit candy. If you go to sdf.org/L/1A, that's sdf.org/L(1), and then A, alpha, lowercase, all the letters, so sdf.org/L/1A, and if you open that up, you will see the counterfeit Wonka bars, and a policeman or somebody in the background looking very menacing. All right. And if you are in Singapore or you know anybody in Singapore, you know that there's been a big headache right now because Malaysia has not been exporting chicken. And they eat a lot of chicken in Singapore, and they can't get it from Malaysia, the closest trading partner right there. So Singapore is exploring sourcing chicken from Indonesia after a Malaysia export ban. Singapore is exploring the possibility of sourcing chicken from Indonesia after it faced disruption of supply from Malaysia due to an export ban. The Singapore Food Agency is working closely with the Indonesian authorities to explore the accreditation of Indonesia as a potential source of chicken import, the agency said in a statement on Wednesday. So, because, oh man, chicken rice in Singapore, man. Looks so good. I want some. All right. And in Saudi Arabia, authorities have seized rainbow toys for promoting homosexuality. Authorities in Saudi Arabia have been seizing rainbow-colored toys and children's clothing, which they claim encourage homosexuality. An Al-Ikhbariya report showed commerce ministry officials removing a range of items from shops. They included hair clips, poppets, t-shirts, hats, and pencil cases. One official said the items contradict the Islamic faith and public morals and promote homosexual colors targeting the younger generation. The Commerce Ministry tweeted separately that its teams were confiscating products that contained symbols and signs, calling for deviation and contradicting common sense. So, rainbows, man. Apparently, rainbows are what will turn you gay. Hey, and Tobe's drinking some tea today. I don't know what that is, though. So, here's some more sad news. Literally sad news. 80% of Gaza children suffer depression. 800,000 children in Gaza have only ever known life under blockade, affecting their mental health. 4 out of 5 children in the Gaza Strip suffer from depression, sadness, and fear caused by 15 years of the Israeli blockade on the territory. The report entitled Trapped was published by Save the Children. He interviewed 488 children and 168 parents and caregivers in the Gaza Strip, following up on similar research that was conducted by the organization in 2018. So we will check that out. The blockade of Gaza Strip began in June 2007. And, yeah, then they have a nice little infographic. But it's just really sad. It's just sad. The UK could ditch the European Rights Pact after Rwanda block was planned. So we talked about it a few times. The UK has got a deal with Rwanda, and any illegal immigrants that show up, any migrants that show up in the UK without proper documentation, can be deported to Rwanda, and at least for they can seek asylum there. They'll have guaranteed to have like 5 years to get their life back together. Jimlog saying FLT was canceled. Foxtrot Lima Tango was canceled. I don't know what that is, but that's what's going on there. Britain's government Wednesday refused to rule out abandoning a European human rights pact after a judge dramatically blocked its plan to fly asylum seekers to Rwanda, sparking fury among conservatives. Oh, flight to Rwanda. Sorry. The last-gasp intervention by the European Court of Human Rights forced the government to cancel the first flight on Tuesday night after the number of claimants aboard had already been whittled down by UK legal challenges. Interior Minister Priti Patel, however, told Parliament the government will not be deterred from doing the right thing and that plans for further flights have already begun. She attacked the usual suspects among lawyers, firms, and rights groups for defying the will of the British people, as well as evil gangs behind a flourishing cross-channel trade in migrants. QAnon link candidate wins Republican nod for Nevada's top elections post. Jim Marchants has said that he ran for Secretary of State at the urging of Juan O'Savin, a prominent QAnon influencer. So, watch out. There are a lot of big posts in western states and in more rural states that are going to these wild and unhinged extremists like these QAnon folks. So, very scary stuff. The WHO, the World Health Organization, is going to rename monkeypox virus to avoid discrimination. Urgent move to change name comes after scientists call it inaccurate and stigmatizing. The World Health Organization has said it will rename monkeypox to avoid discrimination and stigmatization as the virus continues to spread among people in an unprecedented global outbreak. Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, the WHO's general director, said the organization was working with partners and experts from around the world on changing the monkeypox virus name, it clades, and the disease it causes. So, we'll see what's going on. Shit, I is freaking out. She didn't. We're almost out of time. We only had a few minutes. Japan has said they're toughening penalties for insults after this reality star committed suicide, after relentless social media abuse led to the suicide of a reality television star. Professional wrestler Hana Kimura, age 22, died in 2020 after she faced a barrage of online vitriol against her outspoken behavior on Terrence House, Tokyo, a hit series on Japan's Fuji Television and streaming giant Netflix. The bill passed on Monday and expected to take effect this year. Say those who are found guilty of insult will face a prison term of up to 1 year and a fine of 300,000 yen, which is $3,100. This is raised from the current penalty of less than 30 days or a fine of less than 10,000 yen. And, yeah, that's about all the time we got. Thank you so much for being here, and big happy birthday to SDF. Jimlog's rewatching Midnight Diner. Oh, man, I watched Saturday Night. What was it called? It's called Uptown Saturday Night. It has Bill Cosby in it, but it's Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier in a really fun comedy where basically they lose a wallet with a lotto ticket and they got to get back. So thanks so much for being here. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. And I feel like I was talking because I was going to run out of time, but my timer's off. Here's the exit.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.